Ron and Anian.
Sometimes it's the little things, and that's what you got to pay attention to. Somebody once told me the story, and I read it somewhere. If you think you're right, be right, and then go ahead.
The Car Doctor.
I took it to the dealership because it's under warranty, and they can't seem to duplicate it. But it's only when it's cold out.
Well, you know, if you leave it outside the dealership at night this time of year and you go there and start it.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
You know, sometimes I think I miss the simple. But then again, if I don't have to talk to Tom that much, I don't really care. Tom, you're still there? Mr. Tom.
Well, I may decide to leave if you're going to keep talking to me like that.
Well, you know, I just wanted to point out that I was thinking about our caller in the last hour, and he was asking if we're going to be here next week. I think we're going to be here next week. Aren't we going to be here next week?
I hope we're going to be here next week, unless somebody knows something we don't.
Right. But, you know, it is kind of amazing how we do this thing in the midst of COVID, and we've just kind of roll with the punches and make it happen. And I don't know. I just wanted to say hello. I missed you, seeing you in studio. Well,
you know, for those listening, Ron is at the Batcave in New Jersey. I'm up here in New York State, and we have about 50 different digital links going back and forth, most of them over the public internet, and that's how you're hearing your show every week.
Yeah, and in 131 markets now, Tom. By the way, I forgot to tell you.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Ron and I can't see each other. We're doing all this by osmosis. That's
right.
Because we know the show well enough.
Right.
We just do it.
We know what the other one's thinking. Well, so we think. Let's see if we can get through this hour now that we've said that.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, oh, Lord. So without any further ado, let's see if we can do this, make it happen. Let's go to Jim in Virginia, 97 Acura TL. Jim, welcome aboard, sir. How can we help?
Thank you, Ron.
Yes, sir.
It's my son's car.
Okay.
In fantastic shape, except we have a little mystery that the rear parking lights are not coming on. So nighttime, he's got headlights, brake lights work, but he's all dark in the back. And he did notice when he used his auto unlock for the car, he does see them flash.
Okay.
So question is, do we have a mystery wiring problem, or could it be something else?
Could be a switch, but let's just make it as simple as we can. He has no parking lights. Does he have directionals?
I believe so.
Okay. So, you know, what bulbs is he, you know, is he missing just the outer parking lights? Brake lights work?
Brake lights work.
Brake lights work. Do the license plate lights work?
Another good question.
In other words, you know, everything is fed by a single wire. So if I was going to diagnose this, I would sit down, break out a wiring diagram, and look for a common failure. What's working? What's not working? If I've got license plate lights, if I've got directionals, if I've got brake lights, if the only thing not working are the parking lights, how come I can't have two bad bulbs?
Mm-hmm.
Before we get too crazy, and I know it sounds strange, but you know, if the parking light bulbs are only parking light bulbs and nothing else, if they're not a dual filament, and I'd have to look at a diagram to see, you know, it's funny, right? One burns out, we don't notice it, and then sometimes if the car is that old and the bulbs are original, the other one burns out, and then we notice it, and then we, you know, hey, what's the big mystery here? What if it's just something as simple as two bulbs? And I'm not saying change the bulbs, but let's take a look at them. There should be a master connector in the trunk. The harness will come out for the lamps, for the directionals, for the brake, and for the license plate, and the reverse lights. Does he have reverse lights? Okay. And they'll all lead to a common connector coming from the main harness off the front of the vehicle. Is this a TL?
This is a TL, and he has texted me, so that there is a little more not working. Let me run this by you.
Go ahead.
He says, gauge lights, parking lights and tail lights don't turn on when the headlights or parking lights are turned on. They flash when the car is unlocked, so they definitely work, but just don't turn on with the headlights. Headlights, turn signals, and brake lights do work. Replaced headlight switch, but the issue isn't fixed, so not the problem. Fuses all look fine and must be fine since the lights all flash when the car is unlocked.
Okay. Do the front parking lights work?
I don't know.
All right. And then, so let's get to the middle of the problem as fast as we can. All right. Break out a wiring diagram. Come out of the headlight switch with looking at the parking lamp circuit. Somewhere it's going to split. It's going to come out of it. It's got to come out of the headlight switch and go front to back. Right. And at that connector, do we have power coming from the headlight switch? If we do, if we've got it on this side of the connector and that side of the connector, that would be weird. I'm betting we don't have it on the. I'm betting we don't have it on both sides of the connector, and the problem lies between the main connector and the headlight switch itself. There's got to be a common failure here. This can't be that tough to fix. It's a broken car. Put a wiring diagram in front of a tech. He should be able to take it apart.
Okay.
All right. Best answer I got.
All right.
I don't want, but don't start changing any more parts because it's only going to get worse. This is a TL. This is like the SUV, right? Am I thinking of the right vehicle? This is like a mini SUV thing?
No, it's like a little sports car.
Okay. All right. Because I remember the TL, sometimes they showed a trailer connector because some of those cars towed. He doesn't have the trailer connector on this, does he?
No.
Okay. You know, because then I would go to the trailer harness and check to see, do I have power at the park signal there?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So if the parking lights are working on the front, then that leads you to power on the
right.
wiring going to the rear.
I'm back to the wiring on the rear because it's parking lights in the back, and it's what else that he said? Jim?
Said gauge lights, parking lights, and taillights don't turn on with the headlights.
Well, aren't parking lights and taillights the same thing? Parking lights maybe are up front as he's talking.
Yeah, I think when he says parking lights, he's just referring to the back of the car.
Okay, so it sounds like tail lamps don't work and the gauge cluster lights don't work. Now, now, did they both fail at the same time? Could we have two separate problems? So, you know, could this be a problem with the dimmer, that the dimmer switch doesn't work, that would dim the dash lights? And could we have two bulbs out in the back? Need more information. Did it all happen at once? Did it ever work? Has he owned the car? How long has he owned the car?
Oh, probably
3 years, 5 years. Huh?
Long time.
Right.
Long time.
And at one point, everything worked.
Yeah.
So, you know, first question, did it all fail at once?
Mm-hmm.
I always ask those hard questions. Yeah. You ever notice that?
I know. Yeah. I believe they all failed at once.
Okay. Then there's got to be a common thread and a wiring diagram. Yeah. A review of a wiring diagram will tell you.
Okay.
All right. I'll do this for you. You got a pencil and paper?
I do not. But
Well, try and remember it. Ron@cardoctorshow.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you send me an email with the 17-digit VIN of the vehicle, I can't promise I'll get to it the early part of the week, but I'm sure sometime during the course of the week between now and next show, I'll look up a wiring diagram and I'll try to email it back to you with some pointers.
What was that email again?
Ron@cardoctorshow.com and spell out doctor. CARDOCTOR, cardoctorshow.com. I'll be glad to do what
Will
I can
do.
For you. All right, sir?
I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Not a problem. You take good care. Yes, sir. Yeah, listen, it's got to be logical, guys. It's not that hard to resolve. We just need when, where, why, and how. We had a car in the shop recently. As a matter of fact, it was a Toyota Corolla. Parking lights didn't work. I looked at the car. It had license plate lights. Brake lights worked. It had directionals. Everything else worked except the two parking lights didn't work. Had two bad bulbs. Sometimes simple's right in front of you, and you don't want to overcomplicate it. You know, and I'm not saying just change the bulbs, but pull bulbs out of the vehicle you're having a problem with. Look at them. The old flick test, you know, hold the bulb, flick it with your thumb and forefinger. Do you see the filament bounce? If it does, it's bad. If the bulb is got a black spot on it, it's bad. Change the bulb. Move on to the next thing. Don't overthink it. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this.
It on the wall so you don't forget to call for car advice done right. 855-560-9900. Now back to Ron.
Hey, let's get over and talk to David in Virginia, 83 F-150. David, welcome aboard, sir. How can I help?
I got a little question I've kind of been toying with for a little while. I got it's got the 300, the straight six in it.
Okay.
And I always get this little bit of white stuff on the dipstick. I don't get anything in the valve train. I don't lose any coolant. And I've had people tell me it's just, you know, it's condensation, it's old cast block and everything. So, the cast holds moisture and it heats up and it weeps out into the oil. And,
yep. You
know, there's nothing to worry about, but I feel like it just shouldn't be there. And I do, like I said, I'm not losing any water. Could it be maybe a small pinhole in the head gasket or something? Maybe I am losing water, just a very, very, very small amount.
It could. It could. Let me ask you this. How often do you change oil? And have you, I mean, this is going to be a silly question. I get to ask one silly question a show. This is it. You're not the original owner by chance. You don't know the maintenance history on this, do you?
No, I don't. I'm actually the third owner. The first guy that bought it brand new. Then he gave it to his dad, and then I bought it from his dad.
Got it.
So it had been in the same family for, a long time. And then its last, the guy said probably about a year, but he was old. He was probably 70, old retired railroad worker. And, I got a feeling, at that age, a year might have been more like 5 years, 6 years. It probably just been kind of sitting around,
Right.
And I don't think it got very, very minimal use, for a long time. I do, I do change the oil regularly. I do run, you can give me your tidbits on this too, but I do, it's a, flat tappet, cam push rod engine. So I run the Valvoline, the 2050 weight in it with the high zinc, the racing oil, seems to run a whole lot smoother. Kind of quieted the motor up a lot too. I don't drive it a whole lot. It's kind of just my little dump runner truck or whatever. Beat around town. I drive to the bowling alley on Sundays.
David, does it sit a lot?
I'd probably drive it.
How many miles a year do you put on it?
Probably maybe 2,000 maybe.
Okay. So it's a hot rod. It's your hot rod. Your classic car.
Exactly what it is,
It's your hot rod. So, first of all, the commentary on the oil. I think 2050 is overkill. I don't know that you need the zinc additive. Listen, if it makes you happy, great. I always remember this. I just had this conversation yesterday with one of the better engine builders I know in the area, and I asked him this very question because I get this a lot about the zinc thing, and he said, what you've got to realize is most older vehicles, and we were talking about older cars, we were talking about cars from the 50s and the 60s, it's the quality of oil 60
I'm
or
sorry,
70.
Buddy, you...
Say again? David? Okay. So the quality of the oil 60 or 70 years ago was vastly different. The zinc stuff is okay. I mean, you can use the 2050. I don't think that's the be all and end all. I don't know that I would, but if it makes you happy, I'm not going to argue it. What I would do is I'd be concerned about whatever sludge is built up in this because 2,000 miles a year, long oil drain intervals in between on the previous owners. I would do an oil change with this. Use what oil you want. I would go up to a 1030. A 1030 synthetic. I think the synthetics have a better detergency to them and a better cleaning action. And I think 1030 will be just fine. I would also look to see what's on the cap. What was it rated for in 83? I'm thinking 1030. But I think the important...
It was 1030 back then.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The important takeaway here is you want to use some sort of oil cleaner. All right? Something to remove the sludge. Do you have an O'Reilly Auto Parts by you?
Yeah.
Okay. Run down to the local O'Reilly Auto Parts. See if they've got Berryman B60 High Mileage Oil System Rejuvenator. It's a cleaner. It's a sludge remover. All right? And it flat out works. We use it in the shop on cars with higher mileage, with low oil change intervals that are new to the shop, because then we get them on a good oil change requiem. and they follow protocol, it will eliminate the sludge. It may take two or three treatments, but it will eliminate the sludge. We've had very good success with it. Behrmann B60 high mileage oil system rejuvenator. O'Reilly Auto Parts should have it. You can also read about it on the Behrmann website, BehrmannProducts.com. But I would do that. All right. I think the other.
I did want to say I did one thing that might add to this. Before, when I got the truck, I ran a bunch of the recommended amount, a liberal recommended amount of seafoam through the crank because you can run it in the oil, and I ran the truck, got it warm, let it run for like 15 minutes at like 2,000 RPMs, you know, in neutral, and when it cooled all off, I took the whole oil pan down, drained all the oil, I took the whole oil pan down, and I must have scraped a half inch of sludge out of the bottom of the oil pan. Because I had that problem before, but I didn't see any of that white substance I'm talking about on the dipstick. I didn't see anything white in the pan when I physically took the pan down.
Right, because what you saw in the pan was sludge. So, and it's what the sea foam did was boil it out. But if it continues to come back, it's coming back because there's still more sludge in the motor. You know, the sea foam stuff is a good idea, but it's not long term. The Behrmann, you can follow the directions on the can, and they give you a mileage limit. You know, you can drive up to so many miles to use it, and it's sometimes the chemical is good as it is. You know, you don't want to use something so harsh it cleans everything out in 30 seconds, because what's it doing to the gasket and seals? You want to use something gasket and seal sensitive, if I can say it that way, if that makes sense. So, you know,
I got you. Yeah, I never tried the Behrmann. I'll give that
right.
a shot.
So try that. And then the other thing is, if you think you've got a head gasket issue, you think you've got a problem that maybe it is losing coolant, it wouldn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to put a bottle of K-Seal in it. K-Seal.com for more info. We just did that this week with someone. We had a Chevy Malibu. They're going through coolant a little bit, like such a little bit, on a 180,000-mile vehicle. It didn't pay to really get into it. It's a 14-year-old car with 180,000 miles on it. They were looking for a simple way to solve it. We put a bottle of K-Seal in it. We'll see what happens. But I know right off the bat that they're going to not have their issue. I know it's going to fix it. So just something really good to look at. So just be aware of that. Get out to kseal.com. It doesn't hurt. K-Seal is there. The engine will use it if it needs to. As a matter of fact, Tom, and thanks for the call, David. Yes. I appreciate it. Do me a favor. Get John Richter from K-Seal on the phone. All right.
Okay.
He's a VP over there.
Call.
Yeah. I'll give you a number off air. You know, I know he's hanging around Saturday afternoon, Sunday on the weekends and stuff. He's got no life. He's a K-Seal executive. He's all excited about K-Seal. That's all he thinks about. But let's get him on here. He can answer a bunch of these questions we've got from the callers. I know Johnny's a fun guy. We'll have a great time. So get him on the air. We'll do that next coming up. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this. Thanks, Tom. Welcome back. So, you know, you heard me recently talking about, we had this 2011 Toyota Tacoma come into the shop, 148,000 miles, 150,000 miles, some crazy number. And it had a coolant leak. It had a coolant leak from underneath the intake manifold. Of course, they have to put it under the intake manifold. They put this plastic tube about an inch in diameter, and it leads up to a metal water neck that's on the other side of the thermostat housing. And it's just press fit on. It's there's no clamp, there's no support for it. It's just kind of hanging out in space. And it started to drip. And part of it is due to the fact the customer didn't do great cooling system maintenance. I could tell, because when I took the radiator cap off, our radiator cap's supposed to be two pieces, right? The bottom was still stuck in the radiator, and the top came off. And I said, you know how I fixed it, but I wanted to reach out to an expert in the field because I wanted him to hear the story, and I also wanted some comments from him. John Richter, he's a vice president over there at K-Seal, one of our very great sponsors, and we're very glad to have them. And John here today. John, welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning, Ron. Thank you for having me on the Car Doctor, man. Really appreciate it.
You know, John, it was like, to me, it was like the perfect solution. Poured a bottle of K-Seal into this Toyota Tacoma, ran it, you know, followed the directions on the bottle, and boom, half hour later, this truck is fixed. And, you know, my only option was, do I pull the intake manifold off on an almost 10-year-old vehicle with brittle plastic lines, clips, you know, and make more? You know, was that the right repair, John?
It was the absolute right repair, Ron, and it's amazing. I mean, K-Seal has made repairs like this literally millions of times, right? I mean, it's a ceramic formula product. It's not going to clog anything within the system. And when I make the repair, I guarantee it for the lifetime of the engine. No need for mechanical repairs with weeps. As long as it's not a crack larger than 1/32 of an inch, you're good to go with K-Seal.
So as cooling leaks, I mean, they've gotten more complicated, right? Here's a car that, you know, because of the technology on the car, because of the, and the technology is in electronics. The technology is the plastic intake manifold, the plastic lines that have been under the hood for 9 or 10 years or longer on some cars. And you go to take these things apart, snap, crackle, pop. I always think of the cereal, right? It becomes Rice Krispies. It just starts to fall apart.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And even though these cars are advancing technologically all the time, the coolant system remains basically the same, right?
Yep.
I mean, the coolant's got to flow around the block, keep the engine cool, and that's the bottom line. That's why I can make these repairs.
Why is ceramic technology better?
You know, it's a question that we get often, Ron. And, you know, all the other alternatives out there are sodium silicate-based technology, which is basically liquid glass. Now, you may remember from years ago, the government had a program where they were cash for clunkers, and they were using that chemical to seize engines.
Sodium silicate. Yeah,
right?
Sure. Yep.
It doesn't play well with antifreeze. Ceramic technology, our technology, and we're the only guys out there with this, is totally different. Our product is 100% compatible with any type of antifreeze out there, so it's a true pour and go. This technology also allows us to make repairs on aluminum heads, and the hard plastic you were just talking about.
Yeah.
We can make those types of repairs. So that's one of the reasons. Those are several of the reasons why ceramic technology is so far advanced and better than the other technologies in the marketplace.
The only thing I don't understand about K-Seal, John, is I've got the large heavy-duty truck bottle in the shop, and I've got the small for passenger car bottle in the shop. Are they the same? Is it, you know, is K-Seal work the same on big and small engines, or is there a difference in the product?
Yeah, really good question. And it will work on large engines and small engines, but obviously the bigger the system, the more of my special sauce you're going to need. And we have a heavy-duty product. Okay, a heavy-duty product comes in a 16-ounce bottle, and it's good for a 50-quart system. So we make repairs regularly on big rigs. We have a huge market in the agricultural fields. So, yes, the product will work in both small and large vehicles. And we've got a special product, K-Seal Heavy Duty, for those larger systems.
So it's the same thing in each bottle. So if a person couldn't get a heavy-duty bottle, could they take two of the smaller bottles and use it on a bigger system?
Ron, they could.
Okay.
They absolutely could.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because I couldn't get, or by the same token, I couldn't get small bottles. My distributor was out of small bottles the other week, and I grabbed the big bottle, and I said, it's got to be the same stuff. I don't see anywhere where it's none. I used half a bottle, and I said, good, I think we're done. And I was right. We were done. Different
well,
vehicle.
I love it.
You know,
I love
different
it.
Vehicle. Hey, listen, sometimes you just got to move the job along. The customer wants the car back. It's Friday. It's 4 o'clock. It's got to go, baby.
No doubt.
So I know K-Seal won't clog heater cores. It won't clog radiators. What about other cooling system components? I know now it works on nylon tubes on Toyotas. What about water pumps? Does it fix water pumps?
You know something? It's a really good question. And yes, it can. A water pump casing, right? They have a tendency to weep, and we can make that repair. We can make that repair. And there's nothing in our formula, Ron, that'll clog anything within the system. In fact, we're the only company out there that has been third-party tested by the ASTM 3147 global standard. Okay, that clearly states and points out to the fact that we won't clog anything and we actually make the repairs that we claim that we're going to make.
Wow. Would it work? You know, one of the questions I get most common is, I know it'll do seepage, but would it fix, and I don't think it can, would it fix a drippy water pump from the weep hole? I don't see how it could.
You know, we've had success doing that. Yes, it can. We have. We absolutely have.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's a better mousetrap, Ron. It's a really good product. In fact, we're number one in the industry. We disrupted the entire industry about 10, 12 years ago.
Is there a repair you guys are the most proud of? Because you seem to fix some of the craziest things out there. I've got my own stories. What are some of yours? What's the one you're the most proud of?
Well, I tell you, one of the most impressive things that we have done, there was a 1913 Bugatti that had a porous block. And this is a million-dollar vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay, and the guy came to us, and we gave them a bottle of K-Seal Ultimate to make the repair. The guy pours it in the engine. He's driving it around. It makes the repair. He's happy as all get out. The next week, Ron, he was on Jay Leno's Garage, and the car was featured. So
it's working.
Very, very impressive, right? But I tell you, that's not actually the question you asked me. You asked me what I'm the most proud of. I'll tell you what I'm the most proud of, okay? About 5 or 6 years ago, my daughter came to me, and she had a 203 Jeep Wrangler. And she comes in to me, and she says, Dad, you know, I'm leaking antifreeze. I don't know where it's leaking from. Does your stuff really work? This is my daughter, right?
Yeah, right.
So Danielle, it's fixed. It's repaired millions of cars. Okay, so we get a bottle into her system. She comes back the next day. She was happy as could be. And she goes, Dad, your stuff really works. She didn't use the word stuff, Ron.
Right.
But it really works. So that I'm the most proud of that one.
And you got to tell her, listen, how do you think I sent you to college, right?
Exactly.
What do you think paid for that college education? Something's got to be working. So, I get it. I can imagine. John, in our closing 2 minutes, K-Seal, K-Seal Ultimate, and K-Seal HD. What's the difference?
Good questions, okay? K-Seal is our 8-ounce pour-and-go product that's a general multi-purpose repair. There are a lot of times when people have no idea where they're losing antifreeze from, and K-Seal, that's the perfect opportunity for 12-cylinder vehicles and less, a 20-quart system,
right?
K-Seal. Now, if somebody knows he's got a head gasket issue, you know, he's got what looks like smoke blowing out the back or something like that, K-Seal Ultimate has got 33% more sealing power, plus an anti-rust and an anti-freeze formula in there. Perfect application if you know you got a head gasket or block issue.
And my guess would be, not to interrupt you, but I will, my guess would be that the difference really is you could use either or, it's just that the Ultimate's got a little bit more of a cost factor to it. So if we don't need to spend the money, why would we?
All true.
Right.
All true.
Right.
But it's got 33% more sealing power as well.
Right. That's why we would. Okay. And then K-Seal HD, that's for the trucks.
That's for the trucks and agricultural equipment, right? That'll take that one bottle is good for a 50-quart system as opposed to my 8-ounce bottle being good for a 20-quart system.
Wow. Okay. Makes sense.
It's good. It's a multi-general repair, good for the entire system.
You know, John, I just wanted a reaction to the Toyota Tacoma repair. We got a whole education here today. It's just like, holy cow.
I wanted to know how the guy who owned that car felt. He had to be tickled.
Oh, he was thrilled. He at the end of the day, I texted him. We texted in the shop, and I said, you know, hey, Rich, your car's fixed. And he texted me back. He goes, I guess the magic stuff worked. I said, no magic. It worked. It's K-Seal. And, you know.
Thank you for that support, man.
John, he came in. He paid the bill. He was thrilled. I just checked with him 2 days ago. And he says, yeah, it's still working. My heat works. The leak's fixed. My wife, he said, the only bad thing is I had my wife convinced I could get a new car. And he goes, now she says I can't get one. I said, well, I got to turn my shirt around and put the collar on if you want absolution, my son. I can only fix those things once in a while.
That's clever.
You know,
that's
but, you know, it is what it is. John, where can the listeners go get more information? Let's give a plug here. Go ahead, tell me.
Yeah, well, and thank you for that, okay? KSHield.com, our website, has got a ton of information. You can go to autopilot.com, okay? Tons, thousands and thousands of reviews. And if you got some techs out there that really want to learn a little bit more, go to KSHieldAcademy.com.
Cool.
All great places to get a lot of information on the coolant system and K-Seal and how we can make repairs for you and save you guys literally thousands of dollars.
You know, and as a closing note, I've also encouraged people, and I believe this, a small bottle of K-Seal in the glove compartment of that car that's going to college or taking a trip or, you know, just as a preventative, it's like having a cooling system mechanic in the car.
Absolutely true, and great point.
Yeah,
great point.
But there's a limit, right? Now we said the size of the crack can't be bigger than what? Let's leave them with that.
Yeah, 1/32 of an inch. Right. Anything that size or smaller, I got a 95% chance of making the repair, Ron.
Yep. Cool beans. John, I had a ball. I appreciate you taking the spot on the moment phone call and going through all this with me. I hope you had fun too. We enjoyed ourselves.
I have a lot of fun. Thank you for having me on the car, Dr. Ron.
You're welcome, John. Listen, we're going to put you on the spot again, so keep by your phone in the coming months. You never know when's going to happen and things like this.
Give me a phone whenever, man. It's
you, sir. You be well. Take good care. I'm Ron Ananey and the Car Doctor. We are back right after this.
15 seconds to air. Stand by, all cameras.
Ready with slow motion and isolated cameras.
Stand by, videotape, and roll tape.
And tape is rolling in less than 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Take tape.
Hey, Ron, remember last week we had a listener write in and say, hey, you know, we kind of miss you guys talking football?
Yeah, that was, and you know, Tom, I kind of miss us talking a little bit of football now and then. I know it's a car show, but it was always fun to kind of go over that. Why, what do you got?
Yeah, well, you know, I got Tony on the phone here, but I'm a little worried about him. He's talking about some superb owl who's going to be kicking Tom Brady in the end zone from one end of the field to the other, and I just don't understand.
I can't.
That must have been the owl.
That must have been the owl. What the heck was that, Tom? That didn't sound great.
So, how you guys doing?
Brother
I'm
Tony.
Back.
Brother Tony, we miss you so much. We're so glad you're doing so well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just trying to stay warm in this tri-state area.
You know,
we got a snowstorm coming.
Yeah, well, and we're looking forward to Tony's Facebook reports on the weather. So that's something else to look forward to if you follow Tony out there on Facebook. But T, you know, some of the listeners are actually calling for you. They appreciated your football insight for the big game coming up, and we thought we'd take a break from cars for a couple of minutes. And what are your thoughts? Where's this game going next week?
Well, I'm going with Kansas City. I'm going with the young kid beating the old guy. But no disrespect to Tom Brady. He did his thing leaving the AFC, going to the NFC, to the Super Bowl. So respect to that, man. But I'm going with the young buck.
Yeah, even in Tom Brady's home stadium like that?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I can't say what I want to say, but Tom knows what I want to say. But things do happen.
Yeah.
It's at the New York Giants, right, Tom?
Oh, my God. Let's not get into the New York Giants.
Well, wait.
Or,
now,
or
listen.
The Jets, who had a perfect season going, and put it up because...
Yeah.
You know what, Tony? I wasn't going to mention the Giants, but since you did, you know how much fun we always used to have kidding each other about the Giants. Where are they going next year? Give us some insight.
Listen, though, we're going to go one step at a time. We're talking about the Super Bowl. We'll talk about the Giants in September, okay? So... let Tom and I just have our fun rooting against Tom Brady next Sunday, okay?
Yeah, I understand that. But Tom is right. The Jets were having a perfect season, and then they fouled it up, and they would have had the number one pick, but they had to go win a few games, right? Doesn't make any sense.
That's the Jets. Yeah. Everybody that grew up in the tri-state area knows the Jets always mess up at the last minute. You know, when the Jets need to come, when the Jets need to do right, they do the wrong thing.
Now,
you know, Tom, and I feel sorry for Tom's son, Tommy. He's a diehard Jets fan. Poor kid.
I'm thinking what we should do is we should start a GoFundMe page to bring Tom Brady, maybe that's not the right terminology, to bring Tom Brady to the Jets and be the Jets quarterback next. If he could take Tampa Bay to the Super Bowl in a season, he could do it with the Jets, no?
No, no. You're pushing it. You're pushing it. Pushing it, okay?
You're probably right. Tony, listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. I appreciate your insight and wisdom, as I'm sure the listeners do. You stay well and you stay safe, all right?
Oh, you guys be kidding. Love you guys, man.
You be well. We love you too, Tony. I'm Ron Ananey in the Car Doctor with Tom Ray. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back. Car Doctor. You know, a couple of thoughts, by the way. Thanks to John Richter from K-Seal for taking the time today and for Big Tony for coming in with our football analysis, as it were, because I know this is a car show. We appreciate that. We haven't talked to Tony in a while, and we thought we'd reach out at the listeners' requests for that information. Here's your takeaway for today, and it's very important. I've been talking about a little at the beginning of the hour. You know, the GM prediction of electric cars by 2035. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Can it be done? Remember, every time you go to a repair shop and they can't fix the car, or it's complicated, or it's electronic, or it's a module that needs something, or it needs a module, or a software update, magnify that. Make that longer, make that bigger, because you're only going to see that increase. The technology is going to increase, the demands on the technicians are going to increase, and cars are going to get that much harder. And that's why, as always, I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you, this time like every time, mechanics aren't expensive, they're priceless.